In behalf of the Associated Students of San Francisco State College, we see Eldridge Cleaver, Minister of Information of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, politically aligned with the realities of our society. Therefore, we see it only fitting that we bestow the highest award of the Associated Student Government, that of honorary lifetime membership in this association. I shall read the resolution which was passed unanimously by the Associated Students Legislature today. It's resolution number 62, introduced before the legislature by the Associated Students on October 9th, 1968, by Assistant Speaker John Webb. Be it enacted by the legislature of the Associated Students of San Francisco State College at meeting assembled on October 9th, 1968 by a unanimous vote that whereas Mr. Eldridge Cleaver has shown himself to be one of the most courageous and outstanding contemporary proponents of the black liberation struggle, and whereas Mr. Eldridge Cleaver has delivered the message of the black man's dilemma to every phase of this society in a most succinct and uncompromising manner, and whereas Mr. Eldridge Cleaver is doing San Francisco State College the honor of bringing his art and ideas to this campus, therefore be it resolved that the Associated Students of San Francisco State College confers upon Eldridge Cleaver an honorary lifetime membership in this association. Power to the people, praises to Eldridge Cleaver.
As director of the Poetry Center, it's my pleasure to welcome Mr. Eldridge Cleaver to the campus of San Francisco State College. Recent events at the University of California have been the object of very widespread interest, and those events in the minds of some people may have obscured the fact which brings Mr. Cleaver to the campus today. That fact is the impressiveness of his achievement as a writer. It seems to me that that achievement is essentially a poetic one. For me, Mr. Cleaver is essentially a poet, and for two reasons. First, writing has been for him a means of salvation, an activity necessary to his identity. He began to write, he says, in Soul on Ice, in order to save himself. And it seems to me that a poet is someone who has no choice, who must write, a man whose life depends on it. Secondly, Mr. Cleaver's achievement seems to me a poetic one because he takes the actual details of his own experience seriously. He remains always an undeniable presence at the very center of his work. However political or ideological his direction may be, he never willingly abandons the experience of his own experience in the interests of ideology. He is dependable. Eldridge Cleaver, then, is to be honored not only as a man who calls attention to language as a means of human salvation, but as a man who bears clear witness. He is one of our most vivid voices of liberation. It is a pleasure to present Mr. Eldridge Cleaver.
I'm very glad to be here this afternoon. I want to thank the Associated Students for inviting me here. And I want to thank Mickey Mouse Regan and Donald Duck Rafferty for making it possible. As usual, got here late, and they call that CP time. We want to introduce you to that too. No matter how early I start off to go someplace, it seems like I always find ways to get there late. Well, I don't mind being late to some places. I wouldn't even mind not getting here at all. Because there are other things that actually take precedent over all of the assemblies, all of the speeches that one might make, and any other type of congregating that we might do. For instance, this morning I had to go and talk to a salesman. And I couldn't do it during regular business hours because he doesn't have a regular business card, you dig? So we have to do it when we can, and in doing that, we're able to protect ourselves against those who don't like it. So that's what that was about, and my apologies for being late. Right on. Yesterday we delivered first so-called lecture, a demagogic speech, a rabble-rousing speech to the students at the University of California, Berkeley. This fool, your governor, the head of the Department of Corrections, the head of the parole department, a motherfucker who need to be on parole himself, no, he need to be in the penitentiary. He's not ready for parole. He's not fit to run around in a free society or even an imprisoned, decrepit, corrupt, and degenerate society like this. He's not fit to run around in that. He need to be in the penitentiary in solitary confinement next door to Max Rafferty, Big Mama UNRRA, Scalawag, carpetbagging, racist pig George Wallace, meathead Humphrey, bone-nosed Nixon, all those jive-ass regents. This fool Smith, who's head of this prison camp here, all the equivocating pigs of the power structure. They need to be in the penitentiary are up against the wall. That's where it's at. And there are people coming up out of the bowels of Babylon who are going to grab them by their necks. Rafferty said he didn't appreciate me saying that we were grabbing by his ears and drag his ass out of the legislature. He didn't dig that. He thought that was subversive or something. Later for that. We will grab him by his motherfucking neck. We will grab him by his balls. And we will put him up against the wall because he's a goddamn fool and he's fucking over the people, and the people don't have to go for that. Fuck him. Fuck him. You dig it? Fuck him. We've got a new song. We have a song we've written. It's entitled Fuck Ronald Reagan. It has three stanzas, and we don't ask for a refrain or an encore, because about that time it starts getting loud and he might hear about it, and we don't think that he wants to know about that. He thinks that he's programmed everybody in this country with his grade B movies. He thinks that. He thinks that all he has to do is trot behind stage to get another script from those idiotic scriptwriter that he has writing those oints for him, and that all he has to do is to trot out, quote that script, and he's got a smash at the box office. He's got a smash coming at the box office, but it's not the kind that he relates to. So we have a little song for Mickey Mouse, and it goes, "Fuck Ronald Reagan. Fuck Ronald Reagan, fuck Ronald Reagan," and a pause, 1, 2, 3, 4, and you repeat that, you pause again, you repeat it again, and then run. And if there is no place to run, If there is no place to run, and I don't see nowhere to run, we have to stand together and fight. Fuck 'em. Get it? So can we have a little community spirit, have a little community song fest if you're not scared? Are you scared to do that? Let's see if we can get into that. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Fuck Ronald Reagan! Fuck Ronald Reagan! Fuck Ronald Reagan! Louder!
Fuck Ronald Reagan!
Fuck Ronald Reagan! Fuck Ronald Reagan!
Fuck Ronald Reagan!
Fuck Ronald Reagan! Wait a minute. Let's get it together. Let's get it together. Come on. This is the last stanza. Let's get it together. What? I want it loud. 1, 2, 3, 4. Fuck Ronald Reagan! Fuck Ronald Reagan! Fuck Ronald Reagan! We might get away with that. And if we don't, see, he's a coward, you dig it? He's a punk, a sissy, and a coward. I challenged him to a duel. See? And what he did, instead of that punk accepting it and trying to act like a man at least, what he did was get the courts, twist the arms of the courts the way he twists the arms of the regents, where they denied me, what is the right or the privilege or the leeway or whatever that is, to deliver 10 lectures. They said I could deliver one. He got the appellate court to say I have to go back to the penitentiary, and he got my parole officers, all those chumps, talking about they're going to take me. And that's the way he wants to do behind the scenes, like all the cowardly pigs of the power structure. That's their bag, all right. That's the way they want to do it. We have to deal with that. Because I'm not going. I'm not going to his penitentiary. If he wants somebody in his penitentiary, if he wants somebody in the penitentiary, let him send his mama there. And he can go there with him, be her cell partner, because I'm not going to relate to it. I went there, I stayed a while, and I checked that shit out. I was in every little place where they allow a man to be, from the hospital to solitary confinement, and I didn't like anything about it, including the medicine, later for it. So I haven't been running around raping nobody, robbing nobody, burglarizing nobody's pad, taking anything. The only thing I've been doing is talking about these motherfuckers and telling what I see them doing. And that's a crime these days. That's a crime because this system is so out of kilter with reality, with the interests of the people, committing mass murder around the world. You know that nobody doesn't want anybody going around telling about all the bombs they're dropping on people, all the crimes they're committing against the people in whose name they speak. So they're trying to crush everybody that does that, and they're going to do it by any means necessary. By any means necessary, they're going to stop this shit, if they can. Our job, the task of our generation, I'm 22 years old, the task of our generation is to see to it that the pigs of the power structure are drugged down, and that this war machine is stopped, and that this decrepit, corrupt, capitalistic system is tossed into the gas chambers, into the garbage cans of history. If there is anybody that goes to the gas chamber, let it be the pigs and not the people. There are more people in this country than there are pigs. There are more people. There are more people in this country than there are pigs, and this is going to be a people's generation, and let the past be the epoch of the pigs. The epoch of the pigs. All of American history up until this point has been a history of the pigs, for the pigs, and by the pigs, you dig, with the people's names forged onto it. We want to close the book. We want to throw that book away. If there's any book that we would burn, and we wouldn't even burn that one, it would be that one. But we want to put that in the Museum of Horrors to remind future generations of why they should live by the golden rule. But we need a new history book, one that everybody in the world can relate to, one that black children can be taught out of, one that white children can be taught out of, without bringing the mothers and the fathers and the brothers and the sisters out into the streets in conflict over what's being put into the minds of their children. We need a new book. We need a new book that will respect the people, that will respect all of the people, that will respect everybody's history, that will be able to tell about the crimes of history without biting anyone's tongue and without flinching in the face of the truth. We have to write that book and let it be a history of the people, for the people, and by the people. And it has to be one that recognizes that there's a cultural revolution going on in this country, both in the black community and in the white community. And there are those of us who understand that, and we see that, and we recognize that the further development of that is the only possible salvation of this country. So as people who have cut themselves loose from the past, who don't want to perpetuate into the future either the crimes of the masters or the submission of the slaves. Close that book, open a new book, and let the people crush the system that has brought this about. Let the people separate themselves from that system and relate to each other as human beings, because there are nothing here on this planet Earth except human beings. It's a neighborhood now, whether you like it or not. Talk about me living next door to you. Just keep your burning crosses off my lawn. I might live in the same apartment with you, but don't fuck with me. I'm not gonna fuck with you. But if you fuck with me, we're gonna fuck over each other, because I'm not going for it. We have a new world. We have a new generation. And they have to move now to take power. It's time for this generation to start taking power, rocking the boat, so that those fat, bald-headed pigs will fall out into the gutter and we can have some barbecue and some peace. You gotta have that. I know some. Well, I'm supposed to be reading from my book, huh? I don't relate to that. I don't relate to that, you know. You read out of it, you dig it? Take it down there and read it to my parole officer. Or to that pig, Chief Gaines. Or this simple-minded buffoon that we have for a police chief in San Francisco, Mortimer Snurd Cahill. A parrot. He's a buffoon. I was on a TV panel with that punk one day. Him and that bulldog, Alioto. Aliolo is a bully. He's a wheeling and dealing motherfucker too. So you think LBJ is cold? Aliolo got some shit for him. Listen, I got down here to this TV station, set on this panel, but these pigs that tricked me down there. It said that we came down there to discuss the Kernan Report. And I wanted to talk about the Kernan Report. I want to have a chance to drive that deeper into the pig's rump. And I got there, they had three bootlickers. They had Don Warden, Orville Luster, and some other chump. I forget his name. But he had shoe polish all up around his mouth. The bootlicking motherfucker. Then they had Chief Cahill. They had Chief Cahill and some trick for a moderator. They had this other cat who's what? Some kind of civil, not civil rights, it was some kind of, yeah, human, something to resolve social tension by the orderly process of discussion and negotiation. Quinn, I think his name was Quinn. And then they had a rear admiral, a retired rear admiral, who sat there behind some dark glasses. It was dark in the motherfucker there. He had dark glasses on. And he had a big ring on his fingers, and he was grinning and smoking a cigarette. I said, what's this fool grinning about? I never could figure it out, because nothing he said made sense that night. But when I walked in, there was a vacant seat and it was obvious that this was for Ali Odo, who wasn't there. I had a seat next to Don Warden, who was sitting between me and Chief Cahill. I said, "Hello, fool." And Chief Cahill had the nerve to stick his big hand out to me. Is that a bitch? I mean, even if he did want to be uptight and continue his game, I mean, how could he expect me to relate to that? On TV. Shaking his hoof. You understand? So I said, oink. That's about all I can say to him. So, you know, we got off into it a little bit. When we started talking, that's when I discovered that they were all together on that, you know? The racists were promising niggas money, big money, television pro. Don Warden accepted it right on the spot. I'll take it. See? Right, you can go get the tape if you don't believe it. Check it out. It said KQED. And it stopped everything. And here come, Ali Odo. And when he sat down, I said, "Mayor Aliotti? Ali Tojo or something." You know? And he said, "You're not so tough." You know? And I let that go by. I wasn't quick. I didn't expect that from that sucker, you know? But I called him later on. And I told him the same thing, that he wasn't so tough. But he grinned at me, and I read on that grin the same thing that I saw on Joseph Stalin's face when the Pope of Rome sent him a message telling him to stop killing up some of those reactionaries over there. And he sent a message back. I think he hung the chump that brought the message. And he sent a message back saying, "How many divisions of troops and guns does the Pope have?" That's what Ali Odo looked like he was saying to me. And the best I can say is, "We've got some." You dig it? That was better than saying, like, "We ain't got none." We got some, motherfucker, and we're going to get some more. I know we got 25 or 30 million of them black. And I believe, because Bobby Dylan said it, and I see all this long hair and some beards, I believe we're going to get some divisions from the white community. I believe that. Whether you like it or not, whether you want to be passive or not, I'm not talking to Ali Odo now because he's not passive at all. I'm talking to all of these unbearded faces and all of these crew-cut heads. I don't see no crew-cuts, though. So I think the people are just drifting into that. They recognize that. So it's what? Sooner or later. Better sooner than later. We better get it together. Look at what the pigs are doing throughout the country. We talk about the pigs. We talk about the pigs of the power structure. Included are not the people. We don't include the people. We say all power to the people, black power to black people, brown power to brown people, red power to red people, yellow power to Mao Zedong. We say white power for white people. Now, I know about the situation on this campus, and I know that there are a lot of people who initially can't relate to that out here. But it's a fact that white people in this country have never had white power. They've had pig power in the name of white power. Or else why would they need power now in their hands to deal with the pigs of the power structure if there was not a contradiction between some of the white people in this country and the pigs of the power structure that we have to deal with? So we say that we advocate all people in the world, everywhere, controlling their own destiny, where no group has a right to tell another group how to live its life. That goes from everybody, from the Eskimos to the Hindus, to the Vietnamese, to the white people in this country, even to those racists in South Africa after they're blown out of that. And we want it for black people here in this country, and we've got to have it. our own participation in the manipulation of the sovereignty that governs us, and nothing less, and nothing more. That's what we have coming. That's what everybody has coming, so we can say, white power to white people and down with the pigs. And can you relate to that? Do you relate to that reluctantly? Are you reluctant about that? Because if you are, well, just fuck it. I might as well go take an acid trip somewhere and move on out. You might as well take one too. Because there is one principle that we start with for everybody. That is that every man, woman, and child on the face of the planet Earth has an absolute right to the very best and the highest standard of living, including education, that human knowledge and technology is capable of providing, period. Right there, that's where it's at. And anything that stands between the people and the fulfillment of that principle has got to go, period. Whether it be this capitalistic system, which is in the way, whether it be these arrogant, presumptuous pigs who think that they slid from their mama's womb with a handful of blue chip stock and the other handful of deeds of trust. They think they own the very earth, the natural resources that we all have in order to survive. They think they have a right to that. They even think they have a right to charge us for using telephones or to make us pay rent for living in a house or to make us pay when we walk into a store and select some clothes we want to wear. They even think that they have a right to make us pay when we go to the store to get some food to eat, to get some milk for a baby, or when we go to the hospital to get some medical treatment. Ronald Reagan don't even want to let you go. He says that old people, babies, don't have a right to medical care. What kind of a motherfucker is that? What kind of a motherfucker is that, I want to know? Who is he? Who does he think he is? That he can prescribe death and suffering for the people while he receives the best of medical attention. I bet you if you grab him by his neck and look at his teeth, pull him out, click him, wash him off, I bet you find that he has the best teeth that money can buy. Max Rafferty has the best teeth that money can buy. All of those pigs get the best, and they're even getting into a thing now where they can go around and buy hearts. They can buy hearts while there was a girl in San Diego who was dying because she needed an iron lung. She had some type of respiratory ailment. And some guy in Chicago who had had one and whose wife had died anyway, he no longer needed it. He had it in stock. And he heard about this girl and he sent it to her. And Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, Big Mama UNRA, or Chancellor Smith, or whatever that fuck, Dumpty, whatever his name, I don't know his name, Humpty Dumpty, whatever fool pig is running this institution, none of them responded and demanded that the state appropriate the funds to send that girl an iron lung. They were too busy appropriating money for guns, too busy filibustering against medical attention for people, too busy murdering every piece of legislation that spoke or whispered about fulfilling the needs and the desires of the people. They were too busy doing that, too busy murdering freedom, too busy shooting down the dove of peace to recognize that it was their duty as those who administer the machinery of this society to see to it that that girl had an iron lung before she even knew that she needed her herself. That's where that's at. And those motherfuckers are running around talking about they speak for you. Well, do they speak for you?
No.
And they definitely they don't even speak to me. I don't want to hear it. Later form. We need some student power, we need some faculty power, and we need some guest lecture power. We need that. We gotta have that. And it's 1 o'clock. And is that what time we have to stop? I'm on parole. I'm not going to break no rules. I don't break no rules. Do we stop this shit at 1 o'clock? I want to hear from somebody that works here. You just go here. And you don't run nothing here. You don't run nothing here but your mouth. Where's the man? Oh, man. See, that's cold. Okay, I have a revolutionary commercial. This is Ramparts Magazine. Is that against the law? On the cover, Huey P. Newton. And I said I wasn't, right on. For Huey, goddammit. Right on. What's wrong with that fool back there in that suit? Hey, why come you can't clap for Huey P. Newton? Why come you in that suit, your businessman suit, with your crew cut haircut, why come you can't clap for Huey P. Newton? Right on. He can't clap for Huey P. Newton, but Huey got some shit for him. So we clap for Huey, and later for you. And I don't care if you do work for the Department of Corrections or for the Police Department or for the CIA or the FBI or whatever pig agency it might be. Later for the pigs or the power structure, every one of them. If you don't like it, just walk chicken with your ass picked clean. Later for you. Okay? We talk about we're going to free Huey. We say we're going to free Huey. And we got to have the spirit. We got to have the spirit that says to the pigs of the power structure that you're going to let Huey come out of there or we're going to come in there and get him. Right? With guns. And you can't stop it. And we know you can't stop it because the people of the world are against you. And when we move against you, they going to move against you, and you going to have your ass up against the wall. Up against the wall, motherfucker. That's what that's going to be. I might not be able to be there because I'm a fool, see? Running my mouth, and I know I should be quiet, you know? I know I shouldn't be talking this shit. This shit ain't profitable. I should be laying back quietly writing bootlicking editorials like Carlton Goodler, except he wrote a good one the other day. And I want to announce that Carlton Goodley wrote a good editorial so that the pigs will vamp down on him and lock him over here with us, because we need the brother. That's right. Did you read the catechism? The catechism of the revolutionists. It says, drag them out. Make them compromise themselves. Force them into positions where they have to make neck-breaking statements. Like the Cubans force us to do when they call us on the telephone. I love them, but they're cold, you know what I'm saying? Call you on the telephone and ask you, do you have a message to the people of the world? And I'm mentioning this because I know the pigs were listening. I know they weren't going to transmit no call to my house from Havana without listening in. So I know that they know, so I want you to know. And if any of you ever sneak past the Border Patrol and get there, tell them that along with their moral support, right on. Okay. So because of all that, I might not be there. So if they have me in there too, when you come and see about Huey, come and see about me. But looky here, go to Huey first and get Huey out of there first. Because he's the baddest motherfucker ever to set foot inside of history. You dig it? Leave me there if you can't take us both. But if you can take us both, please do that. Because that shit's cold. It looks like we're going to have to start referring to Ramparts Magazine as the Ministry of Information of the American Revolution. Because we're trying to deal with that down there. And some of those white cats down there, they might be nervous. Their minds might be blown. but they have the courage to call a pig a pig. And they're getting more and more into that after Chicago, where the pigs shot that gas on them. I was glad to see them whooping all them heads. I mean, it hurt me. It hurt me more than it hurt those people that was whooping. Just like it hurt the white liberals more than it hurt us when the pig was whooping us. That's what they said. So it hurt me more than it hurt those white people when they were getting their head whooped. I can second the motion of the liberals in that regard. But I dug that because a lot of people who were saying that we were unkind, that we were unceremonious for calling those pigs pigs and Nazis and Gestapo and everything else we could find out to put them down, they said that we were unkind. And when they started swinging those clubs and shooting those gas, the chairman of the McCarthy delegation from Wisconsin said, "We came here to participate in the democratic process of a party. And we found out that the Democratic Party had been transformed into the Nazi Party, into the Gestapo." And he said, "I don't understand it." But he kept calling them Gestapo. So he does understand. He just don't want to believe it. That's what's wrong with Babylon, that we all understand that the eagle has taken the place of the swastika as a symbol of terror to the people of the world, whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not. Perversion. Perversion of noble ideals that were written by slave owners. Perverted in the beginning, never really enacted. And before all of the beautiful people walk away, let me read this. This is Huey P. Newton. This is the last thing. This says, selections from the biography of Huey P. Newton by Bobby Seale, with an introduction and an aside to Ronald Reagan by Eldridge Cleaver. I'm challenging the punk to a duel in print. I'm a challenging from now on until he accepts. And whatever he chooses, it could be anything from a baseball bat, a gun, a knife, or a marshmallow. And I'll whip him to death with a marshmallow. Later for him. That might be the last thing I write. So, says Huey P. Newton. A narration and commentary by those who knew him. Huey P. Newton, Minister of Defense of the Black Panther Party, the baddest motherfucker ever to set foot inside history. Huey P. Newton, the brother, black man, a nigger, the descendant of slaves, who stood up in the heart of the ghetto at night in alleys, confronted by racist pigs with guns, and said, "My name is Huey P. Newton, Minister of Defense of the Black Panther Party. I'm standing on my constitutional rights. I'm not going to allow you to brutalize me. I'm going to stop you from brutalizing my people. You got your gun, pig. I got mine. If you shoot at me, I'm shooting back." That's Huey P. Newton. If you can relate to that, you dig a cat in an alley in Oakland where they have those swine, racist, murderous swine, drunken pigs, who drive by your office at night and take target practice, knowing that they will be defended by the chief. But that's Huey. Now, we might be wrong about everything we said. We might be. We might be using the wrong technique. Martin Luther King may have been right. Nonviolence may not have been blown away with Martin Luther King. But we just think that it did. But if we made a mistake, and if we die sooner or later, and find ourselves before the throne of God, looking up at him with his long hippie hair, and he casts us down into the hellfires to burn forever. And from that I interpret that since you're burning forever, you don't just die. That you can move around, maybe, or maybe walk on the fire like Jesus walked on the water. And if that's possible, we got to look around at each other, because you all going to be there, see? and say, let's form the Black Panther Party again. Let's get a coalition going on with these whites, and let's deal with the devil, because we don't have to submit to this shit either. Later, for us. We don't have to submit to that either. And if Almighty God forms a coalition with the devil to deal with us, we have to deal with him. And we know that there are precedents in history, because once upon a time, when the people inhabited an area that was named the Garden of Eden, the landlord got mad one day because the people down there were having a party, eating apples or something like that. And he sent the chief of police down there, the archangel, Saint Michael, and he said, Michael, get him out of there. Evict them. Cast them out. And he said, you better go well armed, because they're not going to want to go. He said, don't take that regular sword. Take that new model, that flaming sword, and sock it to them. And Saint Michael said, right on. Oink. And he went down to that city. And he went down to that city the way the chief gained, the chief Cahill, come down to the black community. And he said, all right, let's go. Get out of here. Move it along. You're disturbing the peace. You're blocking the sidewalks. And you're dissenting. So you got to go. You got to get out of here, because you weren't supposed to eat those apples, even though they were juicy. And you weren't supposed to do that other thing, even though that's juicy. You dig? So come on, you got to go. And Adam, like a goddamn fool, didn't even put up no resistance. Tucked his tail behind a fig leaf and split. Got in the wind. What we needed then is what we need now, and what we now have, Huey P. Newton, who would have stood up and told him, St. Michael, the archangel, you pig, I'm standing on my rights, and I'm staying here in this garden. You got your sword, and I got mine. If you're swinging me, I'm swinging back. All power to the people. Black power to black people. Brown power to brown people. We want to overemphasize that. We don't never get tired of saying it. Red power to red people, meaning the Indians, right here in Babylon. Off those reservations, all of their rights, including this whole continent. If they want it back. If they want it back, it's theirs. If they want it back, it's theirs. If they want it back, it's theirs. And if they want to move for it, the Black Panther Party will form a coalition with them to help them get that, and we can go back to Europe, and we can go back to Africa, and let the red man have his land. Because it's stolen property. You talking about you didn't steal it, but why you want to hang on to it so goddamn hard? See, there's such a thing on the books, on the penal code, they call receiving stolen property. If your father goes out and steals something, bring it home to you, and you know goddamn well it ain't yours, and you take it and accept it and start living on it or with it or in it or however, pigs come down and get you and book you and prosecute you, and Judge Friedman will definitely send you to the penitentiary. Judge Monroe Friedman, Huey's judge, the man whose ancestors and relatives died in the gas chambers in the Warsaw Ghetto, and who himself is now helping to preside over the final solution to the Negro problem. Judge Monroe Friedman, you dig it? All of that into that. And I forgot, what was I saying? I can never resist pursuing a pig. What was I saying? Right on, this land. This land, Indians, back to Europe, back to Africa, or are we going to turn the whole world into a free community and rename it? Rename it, and you name it, you college students. I'm a high school dropout. See? You name it. You lawyers write up a constitution for it, and I'll be with the army, and I'll help you fight for it and defend it. All power to the people. Student power to the students, faculty power to the faculty members, whether they want it or not. And I definitely want some guest lecture power, because Whereas they said that I couldn't deliver 10 lectures but only one, I'm going to deliver 20, whether they like it or not, whether they like it or not. So power, power to the people. All right, power.